Clarence Byfield. I'm Esther Averam. Keep raising your voice. Peace.
Cable Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Rush Hour, a dance performance put on by the Heidi Duckler Dance Theater on Saturday, July 15th at 7 p.m. at the Marine Artist Studios in Portland. Rush Hour is an interdisciplinary dance project in which an assemblage of cars and trucks provides the setting for a collection of narratives about human relationships and identities. Again, that's Rush Hour, Saturday, July 15th at 7 p.m. at the Marine Artist Studios Northwest, 2516 Northwest 29th in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO hosts a monthly film series at the Clinton Street Theater called KBOO at the Clinton. This month, we'll screen the film tomorrow on Thursday, July 13th at 7 p.m. The documentary Tomorrow sets out to showcase alternative and creative ways of viewing agriculture, economics, energy, and education. It offers constructive solutions to act on a local level to make a difference on a global level. Instead of showing all the worst that can happen, this documentary focuses on the people suggesting solutions and their actions. Again, that's a film screening of the documentary Tomorrow, Thursday, July 13th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
It's 10:01, 10:02 actually, at KBOO Portland. We're going to go now to Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein, and then stay tuned at 11 for the Dirtbag, today talking about soil conserving soil moisture, summer pruning, and grafting during the dry season. Flashpoints is coming right up.
Today on Flashpoints, an in-depth conversation with Emmy Award-winning filmmaker and noted investigative journalist John Pilger on the recent G20 meeting in Germany and on the future for peace in Palestine. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. Bernstein, you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio, and we're joined again by John Pilger. John Pilger is an Emmy Award-winning filmmaker and investigative reporter. His latest film is Oncoming War with China. He recently gave a moving talk at the Palestine Expo in London on, I believe that was July 8th, on the ongoing battle for the liberation of Palestine. He has made two films about Palestine that I know of, 25 years apart, but both films are essentially the same name. Palestine is the issue. Palestine is still the issue. John Pilger, welcome back to Flashpoints.
Thank you, Dennis. Good to be talking to you again.
Well, good to have you with us. Let's start with some current events. We just saw the G20 meeting in Europe. Big deal about Trump and Putin, and a lot of action in the streets. Your thoughts on what happened there and some of the goings-on?
Well, I think it was very interesting on two levels. I mean, first of all, it was a clear demonstration of the continuing rebellion, and I think rebellion is the right word, of people against governments, remote governments, governments that often justifiably called oligarchic governments. The numbers in the streets that came to Hamburg, I think, accurately represented that rebellion. The interesting thing about the G20 itself was that Germany clearly set out to determine where the agenda would go, and really, I think, put itself forward. Merkel wanted to put her country forward really as the undisputed leader now of Europe. Some would say it's been that for quite a while, but with Britain on the way out, the opportunity exists. But that didn't happen. It's not to say it won't happen in the future, but the discussion was, I think, appropriated is the word, by the meeting between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin. And that was very interesting, because the most interesting thing about Trump, right from the beginning, putting aside all the grotesqueries of Trump, almost the cartoon quality of Trump, putting that aside, the one thing that he has been consistent about, interestingly, is doing some deal with Russia. This has got him into a lot of trouble because the Democratic Party, in fact, most of the Beltway institutions in Washington do not want that to happen. They want Russia to remain a perennial enemy, without Russia as an enemy, and to a slightly lesser degree without China as an enemy, but certainly without Moscow there as the demon. Then it's very difficult to justify a lot of the infrastructure of power in Washington, and in the United States, particularly the massive armaments and military industries. And so Trump openly challenged this virtually from the beginning. And although he seemed to have to prove himself to the pillars of power in Washington by firing missiles at Syria, this element in his presidency has remained pretty well constant. And this was the first meeting, of course, between Trump and Putin. They spoke for 2 hours and 20 minutes. And by all accounts, some kind of rapport was developed. Now, in previous times, that would be good news. It used to be called détente. These days, it's not good news in the majority of the corporate media and certainly in the political establishment in the United States and to a large degree here in Britain. And it's seen as sinister. The ridiculous allegations, and they are ridiculous, that the Russians helped to elect Trump and played a direct role in interfering in the great U.S. democracy. These have converged, these allegations, and they're not allegations because there are no allegations. This torrent of abuse actually has converged with the news that Trump and Putin may well have struck some kind of deal. Now, whether Trump is allowed to pursue whatever arrangements that he has made with Putin. It seems the first one was to agree to a ceasefire. It's a fairly token ceasefire, but it's an important one in southern Syria. Whether or not he's allowed to pursue a genuine détente and normalizing, whatever you want to call it, with Russia by the institutions of power in the United States is something else. I think that's doubtful, but it's very interesting at this stage.
And this is happening just as a note, where you've got the corporate press not at all interested in detente, in dealing with the war, the dangers of the war in Syria. Their main story ever since Trump's meeting in Russia is with Trump's son, and now the word in the U.S. corporate press is that his son may be liable for treason.
He's probably not the KGB. They're not the KGB anymore, but yeah, and he's got horns growing out of his head, and one horn has got on at Moscow and the other's got on at St. Petersburg or something. It's so absurd. I've never known anything more absurd in my life, especially as the United States has intervened so aggressively in post-Soviet Russia. All through the 90s, the United States sent over what it called shock troops. Time magazine had a cover, "The Yanks Are Coming," with a rather drunk-looking Boris Yeltsin on the cover. I mean, the open intervention and attempt to influence, and successfully influence in many ways, post-Soviet Russia has been blatant. And for these powerful forces in the United States to obsess with Russia now demonstrates the kind of incandescent double standard that not even I could imagine. But there it is. It is quite extraordinary. Dennis, you asked me about the G20, and yes, that took us on that subject, but that's probably the most interesting thing about American politics seen from afar, slightly afar.
And just to put it into some global context, and in light of your new film on coming war with China, these are the times, as Pete Seeger used to sing, that try men's souls. But this is a time when detente at all levels and in every way is crucial, because the dangers on the other side are huge. I mean, it is interesting to see that these maniac right-wing Democrats and hawks in the U.S. are, helping to force a new relationship between Russia and China. But détente is the only answer, isn't it, at this point, on the verge?
Well, yes, it is. There's no alternative. Either there is détente, or what used to be called a diplomatic settlement, some kind of agree to disagree consensus. The United States doesn't do that anymore. It doesn't have diplomats. It may well have them, but they're very quiet. And to observe from the outside, the two presidents of two of the major nuclear armed powers in the world, seemingly forging some kind of political arrangement and with each other, that, in other words, agreeing apparently that they shouldn't go to war with each other with nuclear weapons, and that's what it boils down to. This is a throwback to a time before George W. Bush abolished the treaties, the START treaties and others that were put together so painstakingly over so many years between the two great powers, the then Soviet Union and the United States. It demonstrates just how far the world at the level of its political elite has regressed. The United States is a model of regression and is a very frightening vision for many of us, because nuclear weapons are in the background all the time, and the chance of a mistaken or accidental launch of nuclear weapons is high. If you take North Korea, where the United States has installed a THAAD, so-called anti-defense system, it's in fact a very aggressive system that threatens China, and China has made it clear that how unhappy it is to have these these weapons pointed at it. No one believes for a moment they're pointed at North Korea, which could be dealt with in many other ways by the United States. They're pointed to China. The long-term strategy of an ascendant Pentagon is the balkanization of the Russian Federation and the intimidation of China. That's really what we're talking about here. And if there is any glimpse that of some kind of pullback from that position, as there might have been in the meeting between Trump and Putin, then that's good news.
And of course, China knows this. It's so bizarre that you've got Trump and Americans talking about the role that China should be playing, and they're disappointed in China not doing all that they can, and China's looking at this and say, "You out of your minds? What are we supposed to facilitate? That this push